WBTV's Good Question is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. Listen to your city at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
It's a conversation that keeps returning to the forefront. What can be done about gun violence in America? In the last few weeks, we've seen devastating tragedies rock communities across the country. In Buffalo, New York, 10 black people were killed and 3 others were hurt when a gunman opened fire in a supermarket. In Uvalde, Texas, 19 students and 2 teachers were killed when a man entered a school and began shooting. 17 other people were hurt. Today, we're talking about what can be done to curb gun violence in America, and we're exploring one proposed solution. We're asking, what role does mental health play when it comes to gun violence?
Every time I hear one of these shootings, first question I ask myself, is this one who slipped through the cracks?
This is WBTV's Good Question. Welcome to WBTV's Good Question. This is Alex Giles. In this week's episode, we've got a series of interviews for you. In early June, we spoke to former Mecklenburg County Sheriff Jim Pendergraf and well-known Charlotte gun shop owner Larry Hyatt. As sheriff, Pendergraf issued thousands of gun permits to people living in Charlotte. Hyatt has sold hundreds of thousands of guns as a business owner. They reached out to us, saying they believe more background checks are needed for people applying for gun permits, and they think a specific emphasis needs to be placed on mental health. I spoke to them at Hyatt Guns, the shop owned by Larry Hyatt. First, take a listen to former sheriff Jim Pendergraf.
Your reaction to Tulsa, Texas, Buffalo in just the last few weeks?
It's just horrible. I cannot imagine as a parent getting over the death of a child, and every time I see a shooting like this, it brings back nightmares and heartburn for me. While I was sheriff, one of my greater challenges was dealing with gun permits and concealed carry permits, and because we could not get a comprehensive background check on the people applying for permits. And it was mainly mental illness issues. We had to fight tooth and nail, and it's still that way in North Carolina and across this country, that you can't get mental health information because they're so secretive about that. That has to change. One of the common denominators of all these shootings is the shooter had some issue with mental health or some sickness. And you know, what scares me so much and still does, if someone moves from out of the state to Mecklenburg County, moves from Ohio down here, establishes a residence, gets a job and a driver's license and is here 30 days, they can come in and apply for a gun permit or a concealed carry permit. And if they've been in a mental hospital in Ohio for 20 years, there's no way in the world we would ever know it. And without that information, we'd probably have to, at the time, issue them a permit. And then they'd come out here to Larry and buy a gun. That's what scares me to death. We've got national databases for fingerprints, DNA, facial recognition, and nothing for mental health cases. And I'm of the opinion that if you come in and apply for a permit for a pistol, that you give up some of your rights to secrecy, and we should be able to look at that information about where you've been committed or treated, either by a mental hospital or even your private physician.
So you think, I guess in a sense, that there should be a tougher background check, more steps you have to go through in order to buy a firearm?
Oh, absolutely. And I know Larry, because I've known Larry 50 years, and we've discussed this on many occasions. It's not that we're against the Second Amendment. We love the Second Amendment, as you can see behind us here. But I think there are certain people that have no business with a firearm, period.
Absolutely. Has this always been your feeling about this, or is this something that's changed recently where you've said, no, you know what, we got to lock this down?
The first day I was sworn in 1994 as the sheriff of Mecklenburg County, it was explained to me the process for gun permits, and we issued our first concealed carry permit in August of 95, and it was explained in detail that we couldn't get mental health records. There were 13 facilities at that time where we sent letters asking for information. They were either federally or state-funded mental health facilities. But if it was a private facility that was treating mental illness, or if a person's regular physician, their primary care physician, was treating a person for bipolar situations or something with a mental illness, no way in the world we would ever know that, because they're not required to enter that into any database.
How troubling is this to
you? And I think troubling, I've lost sleep over it. I still do. And every time I hear one of these shootings, first question I ask myself, is this one who slipped through the cracks?
What's your reaction to hearing that some of these guys bought these guns legally?
I'm scared to say it, but I would venture to say there are people in this county who have guns that have no business, and they got them legally because the sheriff didn't know about their mental health records. It scares me to death.
For those who don't know what the permitting process is like, give me a basic synopsis of what you do have to do right now, because there is some check.
Oh,
what do you have to do right now to get a gun?
Oh, it's a tough check. Larry can tell you about the NICS check. What's that involve?
Well, the NICS check, you're going to, one thing, when someone comes in to buy a firearm from a licensed gun store, if they're a convicted felon, have domestic violence in their background, dishonorable discharge, they're indicted, waiting on trial, the NICS background check has that information. They have a national database, and they're going to be denied the purchase. What we don't know is the mental part. And there is a question on the form, have you ever been educated mentally ill or been committed? But if they lie and there's no way to check it, we're in trouble. And it would be great if that NICS background check also included the mental health, much more detailed, if there's a central database to catch these people who have real trouble mentally trying to buy a gun, and we can stop it right in the gun store, because it is a horrible, when I see someone buy a firearm in a gun store, pass all these background checks and go out and do one of these absolutely horrible things, and it could have been stopped right there. That's what we need.
And Larry and I discussed this before you came in, that you know, if you have a person apply for a permit, as I said before, and they don't tell us that they've been in a mental hospital where they moved from out of state. I talked to a sheriff today from the Midwest, and I wasn't calling him about the gun permits, but I said, do you issue gun permits? He said, we do. I said, well, what do you do about the mental health checks? He said, the state law says that we are required, and the providers are required, to enter into a database information on mental illness and people they treat for mental illness. But he said there's one caveat to that. We can't look at it. And I thought he was kidding. I said, what do you mean you can't look at it? And he said, we're not allowed to look at it. It's in the database, but we can't look at it. And he said, it's the biggest joke around here there is. So what's the purpose? You know, I hear people saying that the reason for the shootings are video games or all kind of excuses, but no one is talking about the mental health issues and how we can better check mental health issues. And it's got to be a national database, like fingerprint files, that every physician enters information into it, if we're going to keep guns out of the hands of people who have no business with them.
How big of an undertaking do you think that would be to create
huge.
A database
it's
like that?
It's going to be huge. And there's going to be people who push back against it, saying, well, you know, they won't come in for treatment if you start entering their records into some national database. There again, my thoughts are, if you come in to purchase or buy a gun permit, you've got to give up that right to privacy when it comes to mental health. Because you see what the results are by not checking it.
Even if it's not mass shootings, we constantly hear about, you know, illegal guns
every
on the
day.
Street, felons who have guns. Do you think that having a database for mental health would really cut down on the number of mass shootings we see in America?
I'm telling you, it wouldn't cure it, but it would make a big impact.
What makes you think that?
Well, by the numbers that I'm seeing and the information that I get about the mental state of some of them that are doing this.
I asked you about this on the phone. A lot of folks right now are saying, you know, maybe the problem is just some of the firearms we're selling to folks. And I've talked to Larry about this before. Do you think that's part of the problem, Jim? Should we be taking away the AR-15s?
No. there's every reason in the world to, you know, you're not going to stop people driving cars because they run through a crowd of people and kill 20. And the guns are not shooting themselves. It's a person who has taken control of that firearm. And another thing, while we're on this subject, is we have a serious lack of parenting in this country. You got too many parents that don't know where their kids are, they don't know what they're doing, and they don't know if they have guns. And people are going to have to go to jail to get this straightened out.
The database idea, who would be responsible for creating that? What would it take to get the ball rolling?
Well,
here?
I'm not sure. Somebody would have to appoint a czar to start this. And, you know, the other national databases are through the FBI, NCIC, and we haven't even discussed juveniles. You know, if you got a juvenile comes into the sheriff's office after they turn 19 in this state and want a gun permit or a pistol purchase permit or a shotgun permit, and they've committed some heinous crime when they were 17, if it wasn't entered in the NCIC, there's no way in the world we would know it. It goes the same thing. If you're going to apply for a gun permit, and we have to be able to look at your juvenile records to see what you've been involved in.
When you were sheriff, what years first were you sheriff?
94 to 2007.
That's a long time.
Yep.
How many permits do you think you were issuing on an annual
basis?
Thousands.
I know there was one year I recall there were 12,000 permits issued in Mecklenburg County.
Gun permits?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wouldn't you say that's about right?
Oh, yes, and grown now. We had a million people now.
Would you say, Jim, that the process isn't too difficult then to get a gun permit?
No. Especially when you don't have the background information and the ability to do a good comprehensive background check. The criminal things are pretty easy to find out because most of it's in NCIC, and for adults it's pretty good. But when you get into mental health issues and juveniles, that's where the snafu is.
That was Jim Pendergraf, former Mecklenburg County Sheriff. Now let's hear what gun shop owner Larry Hyatt had to say.
I was just asking Jim about this. How difficult is it to get a gun permit here in Mecklenburg County?
You know, if you don't have a criminal record, you're going to be able to get your permit, just the way the law is written. What we're addressing now is when they do issue those permits, if someone has a serious mental condition, can they still get a gun? And right now, the safeguards there are not adequate, and they need to be much better, and it's got to be a national base because so many people move here from other places. You know, the local physicians and mental health people don't have records on people that move here from California or Oregon or New York. So, and these people that have just committed these mass terrible things were able to go in a store and buy and pass the check even though they had serious mental health documented cases, and we don't want that to happen in our store.
You and Jim were talking about the fact that there have been some times where you guys have felt uneasy about the people who are buying guns.
We always listen to people and ask questions because we're the last line of defense in the retail store that sells. And our staff is trained to listen and watch for erratic behavior if they say something. And if we can stop something, we see it. But if they're having a good day or if there's something in their back we don't know and they act good and they leave, we don't know. And we would just prefer. It would just be so much better if we had the same type check for serious mental health problems as we do for the felonies.
Have there been some people who have come in here that you felt uneasy about?
Well, I won't say too much, but we had one that we had to call the FBI, and they got him, and he had made some threats. But he didn't get the gun. We denied it, not the system. But like I said, there's no way to know unless there's some high publicity.
Mm-hmm. That's just an example of somebody who was trying to buy a gun.
Yes.
Wow. Larry, a lot of folks, as I was asking Jim about, are saying, you know, maybe it's the certain guns that are the problem here. Do you see it that way?
No, you know, it's any gun in the hands of someone with a mental problem is bad news. They can when they have innocent children, they can reload all they want to, do what they want to. There's no one there to stop them. So we've got to stop them when they buy the gun. And we got to have good guards and people to protect our schools because we can't stop everything. But it's going to take a big effort. But the mental health part, we've got computers today. We've got databases. And we don't want to know people's deep, dark secrets. We just want a yes or a no when they fill that form out to buy a gun. And we run that check We just need a simple yes or no if they've had a serious mental illness or problem, and I hope they're getting it treated. But in the meantime, no on the gun. And if they're buying a, getting a mortgage for their house, it doesn't matter as much. And they can keep that secret. But somehow we need to get that in the database.
Do you think that would make a difference?
It's going to make some difference, yes. You know, the really evil people will find some way to do evil. We've seen them do poison Tylenol. We've seen them drive cars and trucks through playgrounds. You're never going to stop it. But we can help it with the gun part, particularly those people that come in the store that have some type of mental problem, try to buy a gun, and we can deny it right there.
You guys hoping that maybe somebody will see this report and say, hey, we need to take this a step further and propose legislation or pitch this idea to somebody?
Well, certainly everything's in place. We got a great NICS background check, but the HIPAA laws and trying to protect that mental health knowledge, so because the medical people are afraid people won't seek help if their data's released. But on the gun part, maybe we can find one way just to put it in the gun part, keep it secret except at that gun purchase point, and we don't get any information. All we get is a yes or a no. And they have an appeal process, so if there's a mistake or a problem, they can appeal it. But we do that now on people that get denied for criminal stuff. So I don't think it's that hard. Like I say, we're in the age of the computer. It can be done.
Do you think people would be surprised to hear a licensed firearm dealer advocating for tougher background checks?
Well, for the mental health part, we see what happened. We've seen these are not the juveniles on the street with stolen guns. They didn't buy them in the store. This is a gun, whole another problem. But the ones coming in the store and passing a background check with a serious mental problem that's already been documented, they've been treated, obviously didn't work, but those people need to be denied, and that is something that we worry about every day. We don't want one of our guns to show up in a school ground.
A lot of folks on the other side would probably say they have mental health issues in other countries around the world. They don't have the shootings like we have here in the USA. They say the guns are the problem. How do you respond to that?
Well, you know what? We're not those other countries. We're the United States of America. We have a lot more freedom. There's a lot more going on here than there, and we've got a lot of issues here, but we're still the freest country in the world.
How much of a concern is it to you that somebody could come in here and buy a gun and do something terrible with it?
Well, you know, in all the years we've been here, it hasn't happened. 1.5 million guns sold. It never happened. But we're on guard for that one. We're listening and we're watching, but we'd like a little bit of help from the background check system.
I was asking Jim about this too. Are you guys allowed? What's the process if you say that's a red flag to us? What are you supposed to do?
Well, we can deny any sale that we feel uncomfortable with.
Okay.
We try to do it in a way that's not embarrassing. We try to do it in a way that doesn't create a turmoil, but we can sure do it.
Gotcha. Larry, anything else that you would like to add?
Well, it's so bad because the millions and millions of legal gun owners that do everything right get such an emotional bad rap when this stuff happens. And it's so horrible. But we have to get up the next day and go to work. And we still have to deal with crime and self-protection and all the things that go with legal gun ownership. And we can't let these highly emotional things that happen take away our gun rights. Well, we want to take away the ability of someone who has really lost their right due to a mental problem, just like we do for a felon.
For this conversation, we wanted to get perspective from someone who has studied mental health and works in a profession related to mental health. That's why I spoke to Kayla Jones, a licensed clinical mental health counselor with Sun Counseling and Wellness, to get her thoughts on mental health as it relates to mass shootings and gun violence. Take a listen.
Wanted to start with this proposal that has come from some folks who are gun owners or they operate gun shops, saying that they think there could be a mental health database for people who are applying for gun permits and people who are looking to buy guns. They'd like to have something they can use to check someone's mental health history. What do you think when you hear about a concept like that?
Well, first I must say, you know, the recent events that have transpired relating to the mass shootings across our nation have been tremendously heartbreaking and scary. So it makes sense that people, gun owners or otherwise, have been affected in several ways, including the increased fear-based reactions and responses to the topic at hand. So are those who have mental health diagnoses more likely to engage in gun violence, such as mass shootings? I'd say the fear is understandable. However, I am left wondering if these fear-based, you know, proposed solutions will put a strong halt in our pursuit and continuing the destigmatization of mental health. right? So you asked me what I think, and that is we all need to consider the harsh reality and impact of implementing something like a database or screening will have on us as human beings.
Especially with what you do for a living, what do you think when you hear about another mass shooting in America?
I would say like pure devastation. Sadness, I would say fear, concern. I think about all those emotions we tend to feel when our needs as human beings aren't being met, you know, the need being safety here. If we consider our hierarchy of needs, safety, which is only preceded by the physiological needs, is one of those factors we need to be able to reach our greatest potential on this earth. So I think about just how often we continue to be knocked back down the ladder of growth because one of our basic needs is not being met due to the ineffectiveness, infeasibility, unfairness of our current policies or lack thereof regarding the prevention of gun violence.
That concept of more mental health screening or a mental health database for people who want to apply for gun permits, how feasible is that? I imagine there would be some complications trying to create something like that.
Yeah, I mean, considering the knowledge that many people still embody the shame when it comes to the vulnerability of owning mental illness, we may all think about how difficult it would be to have such a private piece of ourselves exposed. What influence could this have on individuals falsely reporting symptoms on a screening, minimizing their struggle because they're aware that their mental health may be weaponized in their pursuit of trying to purchase an actual weapon? Now that's very convoluted, I would say, in and of itself, but if you take it a step further from a clinical perspective, I wonder if this will decrease our people's power and courage to seek help in their time of struggle, in fear that their private information may be used against them in the future.
And I would have to think that HIPAA right now would prevent something like that from ever coming about. Like there would have to be some serious changes, correct?
Absolutely. And I wonder what those changes could be. You know what I'm saying? I would say that it's a super private thing to talk about mental health, right? Our mental health and our struggles. And so I would say that that's more of a systemic issue than a people issue. If it was okay to not be okay, would this be such a taboo topic?
What do you think whenever something happens and obviously the gun control debate immediately starts and then some folks bring mental health into the conversation? What do you think about that?
I don't think we can talk about mass shootings and not talk about mental health of the individual that carried out the shooting. And then also all of us who are left with the residual trauma of having to deal with the horrific event. Like I said before, until we can make it okay to not be okay, meaning being able to talk about our struggles openly, seek treatment without judgment, and become unified in this collective experience of just how hard life can be sometimes. I don't know that guns should be in the hands or can be in the hands of any American, because with that much power comes great responsibility, and that responsibility being taking care of our own mental health. And I'm just not sure we're there yet.
You mentioned unity in that last response, and it seems like, unfortunately, society gets divided on this topic. And you hear some people, you know, who don't want to place blame on guns, but do want to place blame on mental health and vice versa. What do you think about the fact that people seem to choose sides?
I don't know about sides, right? Anytime we talk about mental health, I think it's super powerful. So if we're going to talk about mental health, let's really lean into that conversation and challenge our public and government officials to truly work on the way our mental health systems are supported, financially or otherwise. It's all together. It's all one thing.
Absolutely. How personal, and you kind of referenced this earlier in the interview, how personal is mental health for a lot of people?
Very. It's very personal. And like I said before, I wonder if it's so personal because of the judgment and the stigma. If that were gone, would it be a bad thing to talk about mental health? Would it be an icky almost feeling when you recognize someone struggles with mental illness?
Anything else, Kayla, that you would like to add before we let you go?
I just hope that we can all come together in this time. And if we're going to talk about mental health in relation to these mass shootings, let's really do it, but let's really consider the facts, right? When you think about the facts, most times those who struggle with mental illness don't carry out such violent crimes. Actually, most people that struggle with mental illness are more likely to pose a threat to themselves by way of suicide. Meaning firearms more times than not. So let's consider the actual facts before we jump to any conclusions.
Just in general, just asking point blank, do you think that extra screening is a good idea when it comes to gun permits?
I think extra screening is a good idea in general. But yes, when it comes to gun permits, absolutely, we should all make sure that we are in the best mental state possible before holding such a powerful weapon.
I guess I'm just trying to say, so do you think it's a good idea, but we just would have to be extremely careful about how we're looking at someone's mental health history when we're doing something like that?
Exactly. Where is that information held? Who has access to this information? Will it follow a person for the rest of their lives? And thinking about the impact that may have on the person.
Fantastic points. Michaela, I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for doing this.
WBTV's Good Question is a product of WBTV in cooperation with Queen City Podcast Network and Balto Creative Media. From WBTV, Good Question is produced by Jack Vandertal. Special thanks to Jamie Bull. For the Queen City Podcast Network, WBTV's Good Question is produced by Brian Baltashevitz and Maria Delgado. Production coordinator, Taylor Robinson. It is recorded at the Queen City Podcast Network studios at Huga Coworking in Charlotte, North Carolina.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.